If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Good. And I just put out a statement on social media that said, I don't think they'll do it, but they should, for the good of the nation. I call for the resignation of everybody at the New York Times involved in the Kavanaugh smear story.
That was Trump at the Rio Grande Valley. He goes to so many damn places. Stop it. I'm writing a damn book. I can't keep track of everything the man does. I'm one person. Welcome to the show. I can't hardly raise my arms today. And I did my soft chews before I went to the gym, thank heavens, because I would have lost all the willpower to unwrap them. It is Tuesday, and it feels like a second Wednesday in the week. But here we are. All right. So right off the bat, I am I can't wait for you guys to read this book that I'm writing, because the thing that we are discussing now and the thing that we're watching with regards to all the Kavanaugh stuff is actually in the book. Well, it's I mentioned it in the book as a part of an overall theme, right? What is so amazing here, and we're going to talk to one of the authors of the real Kavanaugh book that you actually should read, the one wherein they interviewed over like 100 people, and it is tirelessly researched and exhaustively fact-checked, and you know, everything that you could possibly do to prepare a book has been done. But then you got these two chicks that come out with this book. It's the anti-Kavanaugh book, and they have been able to get so much media attention because, of course, you know, one of them apparently comes from a family where they have media stuff involved, etc. And which is complete and total privilege, by the way, I might add. If that's not privilege, I don't know what is. And so this whole situation with how this book is getting promoted as opposed to how the other book isn't getting promoted tells you everything that you need to know about intent, and it tells you everything that you need to know about any kind of dedication to any actual fact checking or really just the story at hand. Let's be real. No one gives a rat's ass about any of the women involved in this Kavanaugh thing. Nobody cares. All the Democrats who are preening and acting as though they care, they don't care. And if you think they do, I have a bridge to sell you. You're naive. If you think they actually do, then you're dumber than I thought. And I mean to be, by the way, I mean to be incredibly straightforward about it, because this is stupid. This has only ever been about reshaping the court, which is part of the reason why Carrie Severino and her co-author, their book has been totally ignored, because you can't refute the facts. And it's why this anti-Kavanaugh book, which now apparently, so what, the authors are trying to act as though that what the New York Times did them dirty and they weren't aware of the excerpt that was actually going to run in the New York Times. The story gets dumber and dumber and dumber. And then even more information comes out about the woman in question, the Deborah Ramirez, who, I mean, she's walking away from her story. She's walked away from her story. And then, so these Robin Pogrebin, jeez, and Kate Kelly. I'm going to spend as much effort getting her name right as they did fact-checking this book. How about that? I think it works out well. The thing is that they even mentioned Leland Kaiser and et cetera. Leland Kaiser said, you know, has said before, and she again reiterated this, I don't have any confidence in the story. And then more information comes out about it. More information comes out about the Ramirez, how even more individuals that apparently had been reached out to initially by the Judiciary Committee when they were investigating this, because Deborah Ramirez wouldn't talk to them. They're saying this didn't happen. This did not happen. And they claim, and this is what's crazy, because Paga Brevin and Kelly claim that they have extensive evidence that supports Ramirez's allegation. Except, and they said seven of them, but they literally didn't name the seven people, nor did they literally name anything that the seven people actually said about the alleged incident. The hell kind of substantial corroboration is this? It's not. Right? This is insane. I was writing about this last night and I was mad. And I just, a quick note to my editors, I'm really sorry because you got 3,000 words of rage. And I'm not really going to apologize for it. It was something that I was adding in. I'm like, wait a second. You know why people got so angry? I want to take you all back to the Kavanaugh thing. Because this is about reshaping the Supreme Court. That's what this is about. This has never been about anything more than reshaping the Supreme Court. You remember Christine Blasey Ford and her attorneys were saying, yeah, this is all about Roe v. Wade. It's never been about the women involved. It is never, if it was about the women involved, you remember when Ford first notified the Senate, Democrats did nothing with it for months. Dianne Feinstein legit sat on that thing for what, 3 months? If it was so important. The reason why this is such a huge thing is because it's a watershed moment. I go back to when Kavanaugh was testifying. The rage mob was after him in force. And I don't think anyone can forget the image of him sitting at that table when he read his opening statement, which was equal parts compassion and furious, righteous indignation. And his wife, Ashley Kavanaugh, sat behind him. Her face, an expression of pain, fear, and just love for her husband. And he defended himself. And I want you to know something. Had he not defended himself the way that he did, he would not be on that Supreme Court. We would not probably have as many seats in the Senate as we do now. There was a legitimate Kavanaugh effect after his testimony, after his opening statement. Joe Manchin won his primary because of Brett Kavanaugh. Do you remember this? This backfired spectacularly on Democrats. You had independents, you had Republicans, you even had Democrats. You had women across the country who, instead of seeing themselves as victims constantly as Democrats do, saw themselves in Ashley Kavanaugh's seat. This could be their husband. It could be their brother. It could be their friend. If they were older, it could be their son. If they were younger, it could be their dad. Women everywhere saw someone that they cared for in that seat being falsely accused. And it was the most spectacular backfire for Democrats. And all the Republicans watched. That was one of the most watched opening statements. And I dare say it was probably even more fury in terms of how he was treated in awfulness than Clarence Thomas, only because of the advent of the internet. And he was accused of drugging women, and he was accused of basically gang raping half of Maryland. He had every reason to be mad. People wanted to see someone who was wrongly accused fight back and a righteous man fight with honor. That is what they wanted to see. And all the Republicans sat eagerly in that committee and they watched. However Kavanaugh was going to come out was going to be their cue as to how they handled this. Trump hadn't come out yet on it, remember? He was watching. All eyes were on Kavanaugh. It was a watershed moment because it was not just a test of whether or not honor was going to win, but was he going to bend a knee to the rage mob? And he refused. His tone was pitch perfect. He was compassionate, and he was completely justified in his righteous, indignant anger. And Republicans took their cue. Lindsey Graham, in perhaps one of the most blastastic speeches ever delivered there in the Senate, raged not just at Republicans, but at fellow Democrats, and said, if you want a friend in Washington, now isn't the time. Trump watched as well. And when he saw that there was fight in Kavanaugh, that was Trump's cue. And then he started inviting the arrows to himself to give Kavanaugh some shade. Brett Kavanaugh had to show that he had it within him to resist bending a knee to the rage mob. And this was the first mass successful refutation of the rage mob. It was important in more ways than one. And Democrats were rocked. They kept saying blue wave, blue wave. I didn't see no blue wave. They picked up a couple of seats in the House, but it was a fraction of the shellacking Republicans gave Democrats in 2010. And I was there, ABC that night, by the way, doing my first primetime network election night coverage. And I saw the numbers come in, and I could barely believe what I was seeing. So, this isn't about Kavanaugh. It's about settling scores. It's about revenge. It is about everything other than the women in question. And you know what a casualty of all this was, too? With all this Me Too stuff, it is a casualty of actually believing women who need help when they have been victimized. Because Democrats trivialized a real crime, and because they trivialized real predation upon females, they have endangered actual victims and survivors getting the assistance that they need or being believed, because they trivialized it for a political crutch. That to me is unforgivable. We have a lot more on this coming up. Newsweek is mad. Newsweek was just a butt wagon yesterday. I'm just making it up because I'm so mad. I can't say what I want to call them. I'm going to tell you what my husband was like. You can't say that on Twitter. I really wanted to call them something on Twitter. And y'all, I was most tested. And I resisted. Just want you to know, it took everything I had because it was there in the window. All I had to do was hit send tweet. Newsweek, first they're mad because they say that Trump stole pancakes, and then they got mad at me, and they have a bunch of other stuff. California adds another state to its no travel list. We have a bunch of other stuff coming up as well. Democrats calling for impeachment. I have a whole host of social justice warrior things. So just buckle up, because we got a long show. 3 hours, right? And it's an informative show. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative cell phone network service out there. So you can sit here and tell me all day long about how I'm just not going to go do business with Walmart because they're not going to sell my ammo and they're not going to allow me to carry, or I'm just not going to go and purchase anything on Amazon because but I'll gladly give all my money to a big giant cell phone provider that funds Planned Parenthood and gun control more so than any of those entities do, because if you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, that's exactly what you're doing. You might as well go shop at Amazon. Dang, might as well. Seriously, they practically do everything for you. I bet if you took your fitted sheet to their office, they'd fold that too. I'm not even kidding. I bet they would. I'm going to test that out. Look, it is the only conservative cell phone provider in the country. They donate a portion of their profits to organizations that fight for your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment rights, family values, small government, pro-life, strong border security. They have a ton of different specials on phones. You can also get started with unlimited plans as low as $25 a month. So what are you waiting for? Join thousands of Americans using Patriot Mobile and get reliable nationwide coverage, crystal clear coverage, U.S.-based service. Keep your phone number, get a new one, do whatever you want. They don't care. Call 1-877-367-7524 to get started. Or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Superbeats soft chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Superbeats soft chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I think we should just karaoke for like this hour. Okay, headlines. We got them. I'm going to tell y'all something. I sent Kane and Steve this headline that is pretty insane. I'm going to put it up on Facebook for y'all, too. It's on Popular Mechanics. Get this. Are y'all seated? Because I think this is sort of big. The Navy says that those UFO videos are real, and they were never meant to be released to the public. Oh, show some aliens. So, the Navy confirmed that three online videos purportedly showing UFOs are genuine. The service says that the videos taken by Navy pilots show unexplained aerial phenomena, but also state that the clips should have never been released to the public in the first place. The three videos in question are titled FLIR 1, Gimbal, and Go Fast. They show two separate encounters between Navy aircraft and UFOs. One was taken in 2015 off the East Coast by an F-A-18F fighter jet using the aircraft's onboard Raytheon, lots of letters, advanced targeting, forward-looking infrared pod. The other clip was recorded with the Super Hornet air flip pod, which was taken off the coast of California in 2004. And then the pilots were flying from the aircraft carrier, the USS Nimitz. So the crews loudly debate in the video what the objects are, where they came from. So they were released for public viewing, and the Navy's like, yeah, okay, they're real. I'm just saying, show some aliens.
Finally.
That's all I'm saying.
Are we breaking through to the truth now?
I don't know. Like, I feel like, should we go to Area 51? I'm just, you know, just saying. Just wondering. Okay, moving on down the line. John Bon Jovi says that Cory Booker would do an amazing job as president. And in a side headline, no one asked John Bon Jovi what he thought. Have you guys heard of the Chess Diet? The Grandmaster Diet, how to lose weight while barely moving. ESPN has the story about the 1984 World Chess Championship. It was called off after 5 months and 48 games because the defending champion, Anatoly Karpov, had lost 22 pounds and looked like death, says commentator Maurice Ashley. They also note a couple of other chess matches, including October 2018, when Polar, a U.S.-based company that tracks heart rates, monitored players during a tournament, and they found that 21-year-old Russian grandmaster Mikhail Antipov had burned 560 calories in 2 hours of sitting and playing chess, roughly what Roger Federer would burn in an hour of singles tennis. They say that it's the stress of playing the game and the stress responses. It's on par with what elite athletes experience. Wow. Everyone suddenly is going to be interested in chess. A 10-year-old girl has been left in a coma after contracting a brain-eating parasite. It's in brain-eating amoebas. But she was swimming, Texas, listen up, in the Brazos River over Labor Day. Lily Avant was placed in a medically induced coma after her condition deteriorated following complaints of a headache and fever on September 8th. She's understood to have contracted the parasite known as the thing I can't pronounce, but we just call brain-eating amoebas. She had been swimming in the waters behind her home in Whitney. They said that they hope they got her in time, but it's when contaminated water enters the body through the nose, and that's how it infects people. So prayers up for her recovery, but holy cow. And in crazy headlines of the day, a couple who adopted a girl with dwarfism from Ukraine and legally changed her age from 8 to 22 before abandoning her in an apartment gained fame for raising a child prodigy. That was in Indiana. I'll come back to that story. Stay with us.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because the fact that something has not been proven, it doesn't mean it didn't occur, right? You don't investigate it. If it hasn't been investigated, then there's not been a full airing of the issue.
So this is Kamala Harris talking about Brett Kavanaugh, saying, well, the fact that something, you know, just, it hasn't been disproven, so that doesn't mean it didn't occur. Wait, so if you can't disprove something, if you can't disprove an accusation, that means that it doesn't mean it didn't occur? Holy crap.
I think we have to work out the argument.
She was an AG. And she wants a red flag system. Y'all trust these people to do red flags? I don't like this person. Why do you abuse baby seals? I saw you out there beating one with a foosball bat.
What?
What? So I just... See, how do you disprove? You can't prove a negative.
Right.
Right? So, well, you can't disprove one either. What? That is not...
It's like, prove you don't kick puppies.
We just walked into Gary Larson's The Far Side Comics, which are coming back, by the way. Yeah. The Gary Larson's Far Side Comics are coming back. Injected into my veins, just right through. This is where we are now. By the way, the authors of that anti-Kavanaugh book, I'm not even going to mention it because I'm not going to read that book. I read Carrie Severino's. I am not going to read this one. I read part of Carrie Severino's. I'm not going to lie. Everybody I know is writing a book, and they're like, Dana, can you read it? And I have a stack, and I'm writing my own book right now, so it's really tough. But they had these authors of this book. What's her face? Pogrin? Sounds like she's a Hogwarts.
Pogrebin?
She's in Hogwarts, what?
I think Pogrebin.
The other one has an easy to pronounce name, Kelly.
Yeah.
Super easy. Pogrebin and Kelly. And they were on The View, and they were really, really trying to spin it. And I don't think that it's going to help at all. I think it's actually going to get them in trouble legally. So they were on The View, and they were trying to say that they were just shocked that the New York Times left out totally important details. And they, as soon as they were aware of it, they moved to correct the record, except that didn't happen. And they were so upset that Trump said that they had an agenda, which they totally did. And then Pogrebin admitted to what?
Nothing.
Admitted... says Twitchy, to being behind the now deleted New York Times tweet about Brett Kavanaugh. So she apparently was behind it. So listen to this. I dropped this. Listen to this audio. Because they were asked, well, didn't you like read your book before it came out? And well, listen.
I think what happened actually was that, you know, we had her name and, you know, the Times doesn't usually include the name of the victim. And so I think in this case, the editors felt like maybe it was probably better to remove it. And in removing her name, they removed the other reference to the fact that she didn't remember.
Okay,
it.
So the way in your draft for the Times, you used basically the exact words that are in the book that I deliberately left off the name because that passage begins with the name.
Yes.
And so in their removal of the name, they ended up removing
the whole
follows it.
Yes,
what?
And so I think it was just sort of an editing, you know, done in the haste of, in the editing process, as you know, for closing
the
section.
Were you involved in the decision to amend this and do the correction on the addition online to the piece?
We discussed it. Yeah, I mean, we think we felt like this. There was so much heat. You know, there's so much, everyone has been kind of seizing on various aspects of this that we certainly didn't want this to be an issue anymore. And we certainly never intended to mislead in any way. We wanted to give as full a story.
People were seizing on it. Not that they made a mistake. People
they were seizing on our screw up. I mean, it's so mean. You're not supposed to seize on. Can't just people write a book that tries to ruin someone's life without you seizing on it? They seized all over it. It's just crazy. Golly, can't two ladies just write a professional lady book trying to ruin someone's life? Golly. I feel like they're Romy and Michelle. Do you have a businesswoman special? Because we're businesswomen. Can't two businesswomen write a book trying to totally ruin a man's life over false accusations without you people seizing all over it? Just gosh. So, what's more, Molly Hemingway noted that Pogrebin, what the hell of her Hogwarts
it
name?
Sounds right.
Was longtime roommates at Yale with Kathy Charlton, a woman that was centrally involved in the anti-Kavanaugh efforts, according to her husband, who publicly blabbed all about it. That she was roommates was only somewhat briefly disclosed, but Charlton's coordinating role is not. Oh, it seems like Pokemon should have disclosed that when she was writing her book.
I'm sure it's just coincidence.
This might make me look like I have questionable motivation. We have to take this out of our professional business women's lady book, trying to destroy this man's... I'm going to yell this over to our editor. we can't have this stuff in our book. How dare you seize all over this? You can't? Oh, I totally get
that in the editing process, as you know, for
were
closing.
Were you involved in the decision to amend this and do the correction on the addition online to the piece?
We discussed it. Yeah, I mean, we think we felt like this. There was so much heat. You know, there's so much. Everyone has been kind of seizing on various aspects of this that we certainly didn't want this to be.
They've been seizing all over the wrong parts of it. I mean, it's not our fault that we didn't fact check it or read the damn thing before. You know, we got it before we sent it off to the publisher. When you're writing a book, you're supposed to read it after they edit it? And by the way, who's not involved in the editing process? I am so involved in my editing process of my books, my editors are annoyed. They love me after all of it, but it's rough going.
And it's just like a 30,000-foot view. Like, why aren't all the mistakes made by New York Times when they've been there's been many of them over the last month. Why don't they ever accidentally falsify information on Democrats? Like, why is it always their mistakes lie in the area of just completely falsifying things for Republicans? Why is those the mistakes they make, and only those, and not the same mistake by falsifying stuff from a Democrat? Like, why don't they do that?
Well, Kane, because all Republicans are white devils, and there are no people of color or women who are Republicans either. Wow. They're male white devils, and so it would just be upholding the male white devil patriarchy to be in any way supportive of them, even with a mere criticism of Democrats.
The male white devil patriarchy?
White devil sounds like the name of
a
baseball farm team.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hard seltzer.
Oh, or also that. Uh-huh. Like instead of White Claw, right. White devil?
White devil.
Served to you by a guy with a mullet? What? I'm just saying. Just saying, just suggesting, just, you know, super.
Have a sip of this, girl.
Mm-hmm. So I have more things. Can I go? Okay, I really wanted to talk about that story from Indiana. Can I just go back to, because I swear this is how that movie Orphan began. I actually Googled that, this story. Anyway, long story short, it was a headline, but it's a couple that. This is crazy. They adopted a Ukrainian girl that has dwarfism, and apparently nobody knows how old she is. She looks young, but they say she's 22, and then they just left her, and then they moved to Canada. But they say they were scammed into adopting a teenager. So what?
Wait a minute.
I guess they were told she's 8, but she wasn't at all. It's Christine Barnett and Michael Barnett. And apparently Christine wrote a book about raising her autistic son, Jacob, who's a physics prodigy. They're in Indiana. And so they just like rented an apartment for this person to live in. And then they moved to Canada with their biological sons and just left this girl there. And the mom said, no, the girl's way older than her birth certificate. And she says the whole adoption was a fraud. So I guess she's saying that she was defrauded and they bought an adult person
or
adopted an adult person. But then it's like, how do you talk about the story? Because I think every word is offensive now.
Oh, yeah, because you can't say
no.
You can't say midget.
And then I remember I one time said something about that one show that was on. Was it Discovery? And it's about fun sized people, because they told me that the title of the show was offensive and I shouldn't say it. So I'm like,
little people?
Yes. I actually got an email about that. I'm like, well, hell, that's the title of the show. So I don't know what to say.
Wait a minute. I don't think that's offensive.
Oh, but that's not what I was told by someone who was of that
little
sort.
Person. That's how I've always been corrected when I accidentally say midget.
Okay. Well, apparently everything's bad. So I don't know what to do.
So now you can't even say little person?
I don't know. That's just what I was. That's what I did it like one time. It was like last year.
Well,
and
you can't say short stuff?
It was like it was a headline. And out of all the things I talked about that third hour, somebody got mad at me because I said, little person. Because it was the show. It was the show name.
Yeah. I don't
so think, I'm like, well, what do you say now?
They can't be upset at the show. At the show?
No, they're like, well, you didn't.
But
so I don't know what to
name,
say. Fun like, size? I don't know. What?
I don't know. That sounds more offensive, though.
But it sounds actually awesome, except I don't know what else to say.
I don't know. What do you say?
There's nothing else you can say. Everything is offensive. We can't use language now. We're all just going to have to grunt. Just One grunt for yes, two grunts for no.
Genetically deficient in height?
No, because that sounds like you're saying that someone is deficient.
Yes.
And that is bad, apparently.
Well, their height is deficient if it's...
Nope, you're being ignorant and a racist.
How do you describe short without saying something's deficient?
Not tall.
See, you just said not.
It's like Orwell. It's double plus ungood. Untall. Ooh.
It's still an un.
Sound like a Skeksis now.
It's
Ooh.
Still a negative. Can't you just say just positive?
Dispositively tall?
Just positive. Just
I don't
something
know.
Positive. You know, instead of something un
I'm
negative.
Positively untall.
All right, then.
That works.
I think we discovered it.
Okay. So they're saying that the positively untall qualities of the girl made it easier for I guess the people that they adopted her from to pass her off as being a kid. But they say that they took her to mental health professionals and she was classified as being, according to the article, a sociopath. Oh. And I'm reading this article and I thought, what is that movie? Orphan. It's the plot of Orphan. They adopt this positively untall girl and she's a psycho. She's like, they told the family that she was young and she wasn't. She was like a totally grown lady that was positively untall and she had been killing people. And so it's like, it's a whole hot mess.
Positively untall. We got to hashtag that.
Well, I'm probably going to get hate mail over that.
No, that's pretty brilliant.
You can't say anything.
I think that's the safest way to say it.
Positively untall.
That's right.
There you go, right there.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So I'm just saying, you know, I don't know what's going on with that story, but that is so going to be a movie on Lifetime. And if they can, and if Hallmark can figure out how to make it a Christmas movie, they're going to do it.
Oh, man. There's too much at stake for that.
It's too much at stake.
I think so.
We have a lot more coming up. You don't want to miss it. I'm just going through. We have coming up, Democrats, well, they're calling for impeachment of Kavanaugh. Of course they are. And Jerry Nadler suggesting maybe it's a little bit premature. I don't know. Democrats refuse a measure that would include gang members in a special red flag issuance. And the reasoning, the hypocrisy is going to stun you. Also, I have some very unflattering things to say to Newsweek. And we have, a bunch of social justice warrior stuff, including a guy who just got fired from SNL. We mentioned that in a headline yesterday. More's come out now. But Norm Macdonald, Rob Schneider, Nick DiPaolo, tons of other people have come out to defend him. So we're going to talk about all that and a heck of a lot more. In the meantime, I was at the gym today. It was upper body. And I am dead. I am deceased. And we had to do all kinds of stuff today. It was like one of those where you incorporate cardio. Normally, I just lift weights and I just go really quickly between circuits and that's my cardio. But man, it was crazy. And I do not want to worry about my earbuds. I'm not going to wear cans. I think people who wear cans at the gym, can I just be straight up with you? You look stupid. Stop it. I mean, you're getting that ear sweat all over that thing. That's nasty. Number two, when they make awesome earbuds like Raycon E50s, I think those are the ones that I like the most because I think that they're sort of general multi-purpose. They make several different varieties. They also have a waterproof pair. But the cool thing about Raycon is that these are premium wireless earbuds that just for real, they sound better than the other super snotty, overly priced, pretentious earbuds that are on the market. Some of them, they have to like design them and they look real stupid so they can fit their ginormous logo on it. Raycon's all about the audio experience and comfortability because it's almost like a real person who knows audio engineering made these earbuds. But they're wireless. They don't have goofy stems. They've really changed the game. They're so comfortable, easy to take absolutely everywhere. And they look great because they're discreet and they're so comfortable. They send you different size gel pads that you simply snap on the earbud. It makes it super comfortable and also provides an additional layer of noise cancellation. So it's just awesome. They offer their wireless earbuds for everybody in a range of colors at an unbeatable price. So if this is what you were looking to do in terms of earbuds, getting a pair of wireless, you've got to check out Raycons. And you can get 15% off the already low price by visiting buyraycon.com/Dana. Buyraycon.com/Dana to get 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy the Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
in that sentence that had her name, it also had that she doesn't remember it. They took out the whole sentence, and in removing her name in order to kind of protect her and make sure we weren't sort of sending people to her door, we also took out the fact that she didn't remember it.
Did you read it right before it went to print?
You know, I we thought we had.
Oh, man.
What?
We thought we had. I mean, like, did I have any read books?
Do we have to read things before?
Like, oh my gosh, what? We're just writing this professional lady business book.
What? Again, it's like Romy and Michelle. It's exactly what it's like. Except Romy and Michelle, they had some moxie, you know. I don't know what Pokemon and Kelly here, or Pogabin and whatever pod people. I don't know. What is this? Like, it's like Dark Crystal. Which, by the way, sidebar, I distracted myself. If you haven't seen the Dark Crystal series, shame on you.
Shame?
Yeah. It's a great lesson about top-down control, too, which is pretty cool. But you have to go and see. It's on Netflix. I've already watched the whole thing. It's the Dark Crystal series.
How many episodes?
I don't even remember. There's a lot. It's good, though. I watched the whole thing. It is, and my youngest watched it, too. It's dark, man. It's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
It's dark. Like, it does not hide the evilness of tyranny in any respect. So, but it's epic. And I think the puppets are even better able to, I think their articulation's better this time than the original movie. But it is really good. Really good. Except the land striders still freak me out. They look like really, like 200-year-old people. I don't know. Like they're riding like super elderly people across the land. I don't know how else to say it. I don't mean that to be mean, but if you know what a land strider is and you look, you're like, yes, I get it. Anyway, you have to watch the series. It's fantastic. All right. So coming up and later on in the show, Carrie Severino, on her actually factually researched evidence supported book about Brett Kavanaugh. She'll join us later. And we have some social justice warrior stuff to get to, including, is it the end for comedy? We got that and much more. Stick with us.
And we will appoint a whole new generation of judges with diverse backgrounds and a wide range of legal experiences. Judges who actually believe in fundamental principles like rule of law, civil rights, and equal justice.
Elizabeth Warren lays it bare as to really what this is all about, because this is ultimately the Kavanaugh stuff is seriously only ever been about reshaping the court. They weren't able to do it because of this election, so they're going to try another means through which to do it. This is how they behave when they aren't in power. So imagine what they would do in power. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. A lot of places to go this hour. So first up right now, I just want to touch on it. Corey Lewandowski is testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. Sheila Jackson Lee was just, she was cranky pants. Dang. Somebody needs their Chardonnay juice from Superbeats because it helps your mood, I think, too. Anyway. So he's being asked, this is all about the White House impeachment probe, everything, Democrats doing this instead of doing anything else. You know what? Let me come back to that because we're going to get into that later on. There are so many things that Democrats could be doing right now and they're not. They want to focus on everything that they do is about undermining 2016. It is insane at this point. It is insane. And one of the big things that that's kind of in question with this is to whether or not Corey Lewandowski is covered under executive privilege. Now, the White House informed Jerry Nadler, who is the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, that they're going to, via the Washington Post, they're going to cite executive privilege for some of his testimony, but not all, apparently. And as it's applicable to Corey Lewandowski. But Now, we got to be straight, no chaser on this. Even if it's not politically advantageous. And then I know I can hear one of my friends screaming from California, Democrats would not do the same. I know. But if, let me come back to that. We got to be able to uphold stuff. We have to be able to uphold law and order and rule of law. The thing is, though, Corey Lewandowski, he never worked in the Trump administration. And so technically, executive privilege covers those individuals that worked with the in as his capacity as president. Were they ended up, you know, working with the president, whether they were it's an executive privilege isn't necessarily as I understood it. And I had I emailed a friend of mine, or I messaged a friend of mine who works with law and did some stuff at Georgetown. And I, because I had said, what guidance do people have so far as the rules as it relates to executive privilege? And he's like, well, that's the thing. It's not really a hard set of rules. It's something, it's typically, you know, a gesture or a custom that's applicable to people who work as advisors or within, you know, work within that circle of the president of the United States. Which this could be also a tactic to drag it out. Because if this is the line that the White House takes, and then Nadler has to battle to get more information about it and to settle the legality of it, then ultimately what, I mean, that's going to drag it out some. That's going to drag it out for Nadler. But I don't... It's because there's no real hard and fast set rule on it. Now, Nadler, he's because they're questioning Lewandowski now. It's been kind of contentious on a couple of points. And Lewandowski just cited executive privilege while we were on break when he was speaking to Sheila Jackson Lee, who had been asking him certain questions. And he was like, look, this is where it is. But you usually have to be working with the president of the United States legit in the executive branch if you're going to be covered by executive privilege. I mean, you can have, I mean, presidents have to be able to have just no BS conversations with people that are advising them, right? They have to be able to have those free and frank conversations with people upon whom they depend for counsel, people that they are depending on for guidance, whether it's foreign policy, whether it's domestic policy, whatever it is, they have to be able to have very, very honest conversations with these individuals without constantly worrying about some legal reprisal that could impact them making and maybe perhaps be a hindrance to them making the best decision or the best plan of action for that particular issue. So that's why you have it in the first place. And I have no problem with it because I think that there are some things you have to have those uncomfortable conversations. And the way to, you know, just to see how people react now over simple things, I mean, they would freak out. Honestly, and this goes for Democrats and Republicans. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. They all have to have very hard conversations, very honest conversations, very uncomfortable conversations with the people who are advising them. And so I understand why they would want to make sure that that executive privilege is invoked to cover them in any kind of in instances such as this. But the thing is, and a friend of mine, and my friend made this observation too, is that those people must be working for the president, meaning they must be hired by the president. And technically, that's not how I don't believe their relationship was with Lewandowski. So while I understand what Nadler's going for, I also understand the fine print of it. But ultimately, and I really want to stress this point, it's a bunch of BS. None of it matters because this is so stupid.
Already debunked Russia
this is
thing.
So stupid. It is not already debunked. It's been debunked six ways to Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then you've got Steve Cohen, who constantly looks perplexed.
Is that the KFC chicken guy?
Is it him?
I think that's
He's yelling at Lewandowski now.
Yeah, that's the case.
How does Steve Cohen come from Tennessee? Does anyone want to explain that to me? I mean, he's got that. He's probably has the sweetest skullet of anyone in the house.
The only skullet.
That luscious skullet. If you don't know what a skullet is, it's a party in the back and Mr. Clean up front.
Yeah, Mr. Clean in the top.
Totally. Yeah, that's it. So they're having these questions. They're doing the back and forth. And I don't know. I don't think anything. They're not going to get any information. Nothing is going to be solved out of this. It's all stupid.
They're hoping to get process charges again. This is what they're hoping to get.
Yes. They want to tie somebody up in a procedural mistake.
And that's it. So that the media has something negative to talk about in regards to this subject, which has already been debunked six ways to Sunday.
Right. I mean, think about this. If you orchestrate a sham hearing like this, you're going to be able to churn out some kind of headlines. For what purpose? To distract from what? I mean, that's a great question. I mean, you can look at some of the headlines. You can look at whether it's the economy, something going. They really desperately need to have something as they go into 2020. And this is, I think, also. It serves to be a get out the vote apparatus. It's also a way to keep up the, I don't want to say enthusiasm, because they don't have voter enthusiasm. They have voter rage, and they're mistaking it and acting like it's one and the same. People who are outraged are not motivated in the same way that people who are enthused do. And especially when it's just constantly some debunked BS. I mean, you really have to have a suspension of fact and reality in order to buy into this. Look, look. If somebody was sitting here working with a foreign entity to undermine the United States, by all means, prove it. Prove it. I mean, I don't know what you think, what personal jab you think you're going to get in on someone, but yeah, if somebody's screwing around and trying to undermine everything in the country, okay, then do it. Put it out there. Show us the evidence. Oh wait, but you don't have any. After 3 years, you have nothing. But what we do know is that your party was the one that actually paid a foreign agent and conspired with a foreign entity to do the same crap that you're accusing Republicans of doing. And that is not, there is no hyperbole involved in this. That's straight fact. And there are receipts, because y'all people weren't smart enough to hide your damn pay routes. We know that you hired Perkins Coie, who hired Fusion GPS, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And all it does is serve to be divisive. And that's what they want. Division. Division, division, division. That's it. Now, as they go on, we'll keep you updated about all of this. It's just, it is nothing more than watch this as they try to figure out. Always watch what the left hand does as they're waving the right hand at you. So Shane Gillis was fired from SNL, and he is a comedian. We were talking about some of it yesterday, because he was going to be on SNL. We were talking about actually how SNL isn't funny anymore. And then this guy gets fired because he used racist and homophobic slurs on numerous occasions. And he apologized for his decade of bad comedy. I was looking at some of the, there's nothing I can really say, because this, yeah, no. He used the C word when he was talking about Chinese people. They were talking about building Chinatown and things like that, and he used it. And then, what did he say? He said a couple of things.
I think he said somebody was gay. Was it an attempt at comedy, or was he just being hateful?
No, he was being a comedian.
Oh.
And they were having, I mean, it's just whether or not you, and they always say, the thing with the racial slur, I mean, there are absolutely racial slurs out there. But I think also when you're looking at comedy, because y'all would have hated Richard Pryor. Oh my gosh, you would have hated Richard Pryor, and y'all would have hated Mel Brooks. Well, Mel Brooks is quiet mostly now, except on Twitter.
That's why I think Dave Chappelle's so great, because Dave Chappelle came up young in that arena of Mel Brooks and that type of comedy, and I think that sticks with you.
Yeah, no, it does. And he was, because you could obviously tell he was doing this podcast, and you could obviously tell they were doing some kind of bit. And I was just like skimming through it. And he was making fun of everybody. It was a very South Park thing. Like South Park, by the way, holy cow. I'm surprised they haven't come for South Park yet, quite frankly. But it was no more, honestly, it was no more offensive than anything that you would see on South Park. I don't know Shane Gillis. He doesn't seem to me like somebody that I would go out of my way to watch. But I'm so tired of this cancel culture. We're going to talk about this some more because Norm Macdonald tweeted, well, you know this means war. Rob Schneider came out. Nick DiPaolo. All of these comedians started coming out. And it's very eye-opening because Dave Chappelle and others, I think, have lit a powder keg. They're in a fight to save comedy, which is pretty much almost gone now because part of comedy is being able to make fun of everything. We're going to talk more about it. Kel-Tec is a great company that makes some really innovative firearms, whether it is a rifle you're looking for, whether it's a shotgun, or maybe you're looking for a 22LR to take to the range and, you know, make some short order of some targets on family range day. The CP33 is great for that. It's a 22LR, a single action 4-pound trigger pull. They take the optic and suppressor host game to just a whole other level. It has a threaded barrel, adjustable fiber optic sights, has long sight radius, M-lock slot as well on the dust cover, so you can mount a light, which is good to train if you want to save some cash. And I like the way it feels. I like the way it shoots. It comes with two standard capacity 33 round magazines. And it, again, 22LR, it's a CP, stands for competition pistol. So it is like a competition grade pistol. And it is so much fun. And it's also ambidextrous as well because you have the operating handle. On the operating handle, you have the magazine catch and the safety for people who are right and wrong-handed, so it's easy for all of you. Check out KeltecWeapons.com. CP33 is the one I was just discussing. KeltecWeapons.com. KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. As conservatives, we stand together to fight for our freedoms. And while we have far more members at Patriot Mobile than a Joe Biden campaign rally, we need you to join us today to support your values. Patriot Mobile provides reliable nationwide cell phone coverage. Keep your phone number, bring your own phone, or buy a new one. For a limited time, you can buy a Moto Z3 Play for only $10 a month and get one free when you activate two new lines of service. This is not fake news. You can buy a Moto Z3 Play and get one free. This feature-rich phone has a large screen, high-quality camera, extended battery life, and an expandable storage option. With unlimited plans starting as low as $25 a month, don't wait. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based team at 877-367-7524. You'll love speaking with patriots that passionately believe in freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and the sanctity of life. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call their team at 877-367-7524.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It's just that mood when you just literally see a headline that is so ridiculous. I'm just wondering when I'm going to share this with you guys. Okay, just, you know. All right, so it's Constitution Day, everybody knows. September 17th is Constitution Day. Just FYI, so I just wanted to tell you guys that. Hey, FYI, it's Constitution Day. Moving on down the line. Oh my gosh, T. Boone Pickens left. This is so funny. He left Mike Gundy $30 in his will to go to Sport Clips. T. Boone Pickens, longtime Oklahoma State philanthropist, you know, passed away this week, 91 years of age. And he loved him some football. And apparently he left $30 to head football coach Mike Gundy to, quote, and this is literally in his will, get a GD haircut. I've begged him for years to cut that godforsaken mullet off. Maybe now is my dying wish. He'll take it more seriously, said Pickens in his will. And Gundy said, I'm honored Mr. Pickens would name me. He's, well, at least I'm just thinking everything's funny. Everything is funny. Moving on here. Let's see. The joke about Area 51 still preparing to lure thousands of party goers as the military figures out what are we going to do with all these hipsters that are probably just going to come and smoke pot in the desert and get dehydrated. They have like, what, 8 hotel rooms, I think? Yeah. An NFL player was accused of drawing slurs on the walls and faking hate crimes at his business. Edon Lewis Kaufman, who was the owner of the business, was arrested the next day. He played for several NFL teams from 2012 to 2016. Yeah, fake hate crime. Stay with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Thank you, sir. And he dictated to you exactly what he wanted you to put into the mouth of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, correct?
I believe he asked me to deliver a message for Jeff to consider delivering himself.
And it was a message that he intended for Jeff, meaning Jeff Sessions, to deliver out loud and publicly. He wanted the public to know what...
Well, there's, for whatever reason, we were trying to listen to some Hank audio there because it was pretty amazing. That's the congressman who said that if you put too many tanks on Guam, it's going to flip over. Yeah. Representative Hank Johnson. So he had told him, apparently he told Corey Lewandowski that talking to him was like cleaning a fish with a spoon. It's hard to get information out. So what he told him, gosh, it's like listening to Grandpa Simpson, for real. I mean, it is. Welcome back to the show. Now, Democrats are focusing on this, and they're wanting Democrats to focus on gun control. This was a very interesting piece that came by way of my friend Kerry Pickett, who has really been, she's been trying to ask these lawmakers about she's been there watching them as they've debated some of this stuff in committee. And I was watching some of the footage that they had, some of it on C-SPAN. So Democrats, obviously, I want to take you back to, what was it, just a couple of years ago. Do you remember when they staged the sit-in in Congress, and they were all sitting in the chamber and they had pizza and all of this stuff because it was the sit-in, and they wouldn't let the Republican Party, who had the majority, conduct any legislative business because Republicans would not pass the no-fly, no-buy legislation, which if you ended up on the federal no-fly list, you were barred from purchasing or possessing firearms. And the problem with the no-fly list is that you didn't know what the criteria was to even get on the list. It was never actually made public. And you also had no legal remedy to get off the list. And you were never notified if you were ever put on the list. And again, I go back to, if you have enough information to remove from someone, to strip from them a natural right, then you have enough evidence to charge them with a crime. And that would render them a prohibited possessor. But they refused to do that for some reason. They just kept insisting by it. Just pass the no-fly, no-buy list. Pass it. And a lot of individuals were very uncomfortable doing that, because imagine if you have a party of tyranny in power, and here you have the ability to put whomever you want on a list for really ultimately whatever reason. And we can all sit here and imagine all of the reasons, since that criteria was never made public and still to this day has never been made public. And you have zero legal pathway to get yourself removed from said list. So how do you feel comfortable about? Because I surely don't. And that's why Republicans opposed it. So fast forward now to just 2 nights ago, where Democrats in the House were arguing over this amendment to this bill that they wanted to pass. It was this measure wherein House Democrats were advancing the red flag law. And then there was a Republican, Ken Buck from Colorado, who sponsored an amendment. And his amendment would authorize the federal government to you could red flag people immediately who were in a gang database like that. His quote was, my amendment is quite simple. It would allow the issuance of a red flag order against anyone whose name appears in a gang database if there was probable cause to include that individual in the database, end quote. Democrats had a fit. They absolutely refused. They said no. No. Where's the due process for the gang members?
What?
And this could be abused. Some of this said one Zoe Lofgren of California, a Democrat, said, you know, I mean, some of these are not even reliable.
Oh, my Lord.
What? And Buck said, look, my amendment requires law enforcement to limit red flagging to people with probable cause to be included on the gang database. That's it. That's stricter criteria. By the way, that's stricter criteria than most of the 17 states that have passed red flag laws, their evidentiary standards. And they just said, no, we can't. In fact, Jerry Nadler argued that someone could be misidentified as a gang member simply for writing 13 on a piece of paper. And maybe someone, I'm not making this up. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. I watched this part on, video, I'm going to put this, I put this on Facebook. The video, if you go to the link, is at the bottom and you can watch him say this. He was saying that, you know, you could have somebody misidentified as a gang member simply for writing 13 on a piece of paper and having it wrongly identified as them being with MS-13. Nadler said, and I quote, maybe you are just doodling it because it's June 13th, he said.
Oh, now do terror watch lists.
Yeah. And yeah. And then Eric Swalwell goes, well, I'll do this so long as you include, quote, individuals affiliated with white nationalism. And Buck goes, okay, but the language should include any type of supremacy. Let's add Cosa Nostra. Well, the amendment failed. Pretty much all the Democrats voted against it.
But.
Yeah.
But.
And Buck was going, look, I even put due process in it. And they're like, no, there's not enough. It could be abused. These were literally their arguments. So to recap, Democrats fought. They fought against issuing red flags on gang members in an actual gang member database kept by the feds because they were concerned that there was no due process for the gang members. And they were, I'm not making this up, they were concerned that it would be abused, ladies and gentlemen. And I rest my case.
So they're walking away from red flag laws then?
No. They just don't want that in there for gang members.
Oh, there's a gang member clause?
No, they're not exempting them. They just don't want red flags. You just so because you're a gang member doesn't mean you should have an automatic red flag issued.
So I just want to make sure I'm hearing this right. Mm-hmm. So they're okay with due process being completely eliminated for the average American citizen.
Yes.
But not okay with due process being eliminated for a known gang member.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, I just...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that was how it was, but that's how it is.
Y'all can go read this for yourself and you can watch. Now, the video, I watched probably about 40 some odd minutes of it. I was like skimming through it because it's over an hour long of them debating stuff, this stuff. You can go and watch it.
No thanks.
It is pretty unbelievable. And it's so fascinating that they literally used the arguments that I and others have been making against either red flag laws or the no-fly list, literally against a measure that was going to be a subsidiary section, you could say, a subsection of the red flag law bill that they are pushing through their committee. So not even making this up.
Was there a smart Republican that ended up using their words against them when...
That's literally what Buck did. That was the whole point of this.
That was so beautiful. So why can't Democrats see it? That's what I'm guessing. I'm like... Are they intentionally ignoring it? Or do they not see the hypocrisy here? Or do they not see the craziness here?
Yeah, I just think it's fast. I cannot wait to bring this up again.
Can it be they just don't see it?
And again. Oh, no, they see it. They just don't care. Because it's not about actual safety. It's about control and taking your stuff.
No, I agree.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's only ever been about. My friend Carrie Pickett, she's a fantastic journalist. And I have to say, Carrie is one of the rare individuals that gets right in the middle of the scrum because she's sneaky as hell. And before you know it, you could be a lawmaker running your mouth and all of a sudden, bam, there's a microphone right there that you did not even see this whole time. And you just said a bunch of crap on tape. But she never makes herself part of the story. She is a ghost. You don't see her until she's already leaving after have gotten her story. And then you have to go, oh, my gosh, what happened? What did I say? She's so good. I think she's one of the best ones out there. Anyway, yeah, no one's talking about this. No one is talking about it. The audio is so long. I almost kind of want to play an hour of it and just like talk over it because, look, go to Facebook, Official Dana Lash on Facebook. I swear to you, it's an hour and 4 minutes. Let it play in the background while you're doing something. So I want you to hear some of this conversation yourself. Don't just take it from me. Literally watch or listen to what they say with their own mouths on video. It is unbelievable. All of a sudden, they're super concerned. The gang members, though. What if there's someone who just is like drawing a number 13 because that's like their favorite number. And all of a sudden, you're on a gang database because you're MS-13. Holy cow. But hey, if that kid eats that Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun, get him! See what I'm saying? I tell you what, I can't even. I'm at level white girl 11, y'all. Can't even.
I just don't see how it's possible. How no one has called them out like on a media level. Mm-hmm. Like from the media. Mm-hmm. This is what the media is supposed to be doing. Obviously, Carrie Pickett's doing her job. But the mainstream media isn't.
No. I would think that this is kind of a big deal. But, you know, there it is. So, there's even more stuff. And I will, again, I'm going to tweet this link out again for you just in case. The cancel culture and them and the left trying to undo comedy, we're going to discuss that. Ellen Omar apparently has been scrubbing her social media timeline. She was deleting some tweets last night. We have that for you. I'm going to get into it real quick now. So I put this up on Facebook last night. Kane's like, what? What's going on? What? I put this up on Facebook last night. And, you know, I have always said it would be more politically advantageous for me to not rock the boat with elected officials and to keep these easy, good for me relationships and, you know, not really press them or go after them on certain stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And I have always been interested to see certain politicians who have been regular guests on the program. And some of them have always been very eager to reach out and pitch various topics for consideration. Then some of them have become very shy and silent when either asked about their stated or implied support for red flag laws and or universal background checks, or just asking about their silence on the issue is, you know, full out. And I've said before, you know, it would be super easy for me to just not rock the boat and maintain super easy relationships with everyone. But as I've told you all before, you know, that's not what I'm in this to do. I have asked these questions before. I get a lot of questions from you all. Where does this lawmaker stand? Where does that lawmaker stand? And, you know, I am a conduit for your concerns. And I feel that's, you know, you as of such, I have a responsibility to push on these issues. And these are men and women who work for us. And if there is any absence of transparency on these very important issues that affect our rights, that's just unacceptable. So I'm waiting for some more responses from a few lawmakers, but I did want to bring up what happened today a little bit earlier, because the lieutenant governor of Texas, who I've always gotten along with, I don't have, and I want to be very clear, when I invite you on the show, I'm not interested in battling for clicks, right? I'm not interested in gotcha, because I think that's lame and it betrays the stated interest of having an actual discussion. If I invite you on my program, you are a guest and you are treated with respect. I have had people on this program. I've had Claire McCaskill on this program before. And I'm not rude. I want to have a I'll ask questions, and I'm not going to pull questions, but I want to have a real conversation. There's nothing to learn from that if you don't. And so I had tweeted a little bit earlier only because I saw it pop up into my Twitter timeline. The Lieutenant Governor of Texas and Michael Quinn Sullivan, who is with Empower Texans, were having a little bit of a back and forth, and it was over the universal background checks. And Michael Sullivan was apparently going for a bit, and then I guess Dan Patrick had had enough, and he had tweeted, quote, talking about universal background checks, he says, "You know my plan exempts family and friends, so apparently you are fine with selling your guns to total strangers who can't pass a background check or because they could be a violent felon or someone bent on mass violence. By the way, release the tape, you're destroying our party." And that, because he has apparently, I don't know, that's a other story. And I just don't think that that's the best way to have this discussion. And so I had responded. I said, "Respectfully, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, please explain how one establishes and criminalizes federally regulated private transfers without establishing a registry." And I said, "I've invited you on repeatedly to discuss this, you know, have yet to receive a response." 1 minute after posting that, his office, Patrick's office, called Kane. All of a sudden, they could get a hold of him. I thought that was kind of interesting. Saying that they did respond via email to Kane's previous requests, plural, and however, they still have not given us any time for any kind of on-air discussion. So I do hope that they find some time for discussion, because I know Texas voters want to hear it. But I do find it interesting that they could immediately respond to that issue, but not the larger, more pressing issue of criminalizing already federally regulated private transfers. So regardless, I will still keep requesting, and I'm still here for good faith discussion. So there you go. We got to get moving on. I know we have to move. As we do so, you guys know I love dogs. I love dogs. I love animals, period. And I believe in being a good steward of your environment. And I think in doing that, and you also want to maintain, you know, healthy animal populations as well. And you guys know, maybe you don't know, I have worked behind the scenes, kind of a New Testament about it, with a bunch of different animal groups and that before. No kill shelters, right? And yes, I still believe in hunting, but I also believe in caring for animals. And so I am really proud to work with the largest no-kill Care for Life animal sanctuary of its kind in the world. It's Delta Rescue. So Leo Grillo left Hollywood because he fell in love with being a steward of his environment. And so this 115-acre mountaintop ranch is a haven for animals that have been abandoned, born in the wilderness, cats, dogs, horses, all of it. And so they are dedicated to caring for these animals for life. They have veterinarians on staff. They have people there on the premises 7 days a week. They get fresh water, treats, toys, affection, and all of this is provided through your generous donations. So please join me in supporting Delta Rescue. And for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning vehicles, visit deltarescue.org/Dana. It lays everything out, what you need to know about growing your estate through tax savings, and that can help you build the size of your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well on into the future. Your gifts go directly to the animals. So visit them, donate today online at deltarescue.org/Dana. That's deltarescue.org/Dana.
And Mr. Lewandowski, you are about like a fish being cleaned with a spoon. It's very hard to get an answer out of you.
I told you he said that. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Doubted you, but there it is.
Told you. You didn't believe me. I know. And here it was. So there you go.
I'd want to analyze that sentence, though, and just kind of figure out where
he's
coming
from. Yeah, well,
I
don't care that much. But I think it's just funny. So coming up, we're going to talk to Carrie Severino about a book she co-authored, the actual book about Brett Kavanaugh, instead of this. By the way, this story gets just even crazier and crazier, because these women, they went on The View, and then they said it's an anti-Kavanaugh book, and then as they did it, they ended up essentially defending Kavanaugh, which I'm not understanding this right now. It's bizarre. So we're going to talk about all of that coming up. But the hearing continues. They're having a break with regards to the House impeachment. They want to impeach stuff. And they have been questioning Corey Lewandowski first, who apparently about an hour and a half ago, some reporters were noticing that somebody had registered standwithcorey.com through GoDaddy. And everyone was wondering, what does that mean? And I don't know why you would register it through GoDaddy, because it's not, they're kind of lefty, and that's not the place where you should go and register your stuff through. But anyway, he just announced that it's a potential Senate run. And that is the website to explore a potential Senate run. So a couple of things here. First and foremost, I'm so done with, I wanted to talk about this Newsweek story, and it was Newsweek, and of course the Media Matters people. Media Matters, if you are unaware, is a George Soros founded and funded entity that acts as the activist arm for the Democrat Party. They were founded in part by Hillary Clinton, and they have zero responsibility and concern when it can, where it regards journalistic ethics. There was a big expose that was done on them several years ago where their boss was accused of being a cokehead, and also where staff members were encouraged to illegally carry guns in Washington, D.C., while they simultaneously were writing hit pieces on individuals who advocated for lawful and responsible firearm usage. Because I guess apparently the only time that you can carry a gun is if you are an irresponsible Media Matters staffer and you illegally possess it and you illegally carry it in Washington, D.C. So that being said, Newsweek decided to run one of the stupidest hot takes I think I've ever seen. And this is the stuff that really, when you ask people why they are so critical of media, this is one of the reasons why. And when you ask me why I'm so critical of media, I owe zero apologies to anyone in the media, because they have done stuff like this to me for 10 years now. So when I was on Fox, I was on Tucker last week. Brian Kilmeade was guest hosting, and we were discussing gun confiscation, specifically Beto O'Rourke's remarks that he was going to take everybody's guns, right? And I said, look, we've already had several federally backed national firearm confiscations. And for the record, I don't know if I necessarily consider as part of the United States Lexington and Concord, which absolutely was a firearms confiscation, if I consider that the first for the United States of America, because it predates technically the final drafting of the Constitution, etc. But it was absolutely really what kicked off everything with the War of Independence, even though the Revolution was the non-conflict time that took place before then. But that's just a really nerdy historical side note. But it was absolutely a gun confiscation. But I said, look, the last, you know, one of the first federally backed gun confiscations we had was at Wounded Knee, which, if anyone took a history class, basic history in high school, or if anyone is intelligent and reads books without pictures at all, this is something that they would have come to know simply by being a student of reality and understanding historical fact. And it absolutely was that way. In fact, you had soldiers that were looking to disarm these American Indians, and they had had skirmishes, etc. And as they were there they were holding everyone in this particular area, up near, what was it? It was up near Pine Ridge, and it was Lakota. And as they were nervous, because some Indians were doing the ghost dance, and they did not understand what that was. They did not understand the religious significance of that as part of their culture. And so they kept thinking that it was like a war call or something, and it made them very nervous. And they wanted everyone to disarm, because they wanted to take their firearms. But people didn't want to just give up their property, because they were expensive, very expensive things. And there was one American Indian man in particular who was actually deaf, and he had his firearm, and he did not understand what was being asked of him. And there were several individuals that were trying to run interference and say, look, he can't hear. He literally can't hear. And this is from multiple interviews. Again, this is all part of history. And they went to take his firearm. He didn't give it. There was a struggle. Apparently, he was jumped by a couple of soldiers. The gun went off, and then all hell broke loose. And then afterwards, you had a massacre where you had 150 innocent victims. So that's history. And I said, yes, I referenced that. That's fact. That was one of the first federally backed gun confiscations. And this is Newsweek's headline. Newsweek, quote. And by the way, can I also have a sidebar? they cannot stand to recognize strong women by their appropriate titles. So they have to try to find a way to diminish me any way they can. Heaven forbid you say, you mentioned that I'm a nationally syndicated radio host, one of the top 10 in the entire world, and, you know, the top female radio host in the entire country. So whatever. But they said Fox News guest Dana Loesch suggests Democrats might massacre gun owners like troops did at Wounded Knee. That was literally their headline. That was their headline. This is as bad as that time. And of course, Media Matters, they just repeated Media Matters, because Media Matters, they just repeated it and they pretty much copied and pasted their story. Media Matters, one time when I made a joke back in January of 2012 at Barack Obama's his first post-re-election State of the Union speech, and he said the Department of Defense was going to be involved in green energy and NASA was going to be exploring Muslim outreach. And I thought, this is just like with everything in Washington. You have something named that is completely not at all what it's doing. And I said, well, maybe you could have a Department of Muslim Outreach and make that about exploring space. I tweeted that out, and that was my verbatim tweet. Media Matters said, CNN's Dana Loesch, quote, let's shoot Muslims into space. So they fabricated a quote, and then they attributed it to me. And they tried, and then other media people picked it up. I've had the media actively try to ruin my life for over 10 years now because they're intimidated by a strong woman who takes no crap and says exactly what I think, and I call it exactly as I see the facts will out. And that bothers a lot of people, particularly those on the left who really don't like female empowerment. And that's why they've been on the wrong side of history, whether it is slavery, whether it is firearm ownership in the period of Reconstruction, whether it is putting American Indians on a Democrat-founded trail of genocide, or whether it is refusing to allow women the right to vote. They have consistently been on the wrong side of history. And as a woman, I'm well aware of this, which is why I'm no longer a Democrat, because I became educated in my mind grew more open as opposed to growing more narrow. And so they have actively gone out and have tried to do this to me for like 10 years now, ever since I began getting as my public profile has risen from radio and from books and from television. And so all of my criticisms of media actually are deserved, and they have done an infinitely worse to me than I could have ever have even said about them. And this is the kind of stuff that they do. I think that they purposefully run stuff like this with, and I can only guesstimate, with the design to try to incite violence against people they dislike so that they could have a chilling effect and control their speech through fear. That's the only thing that I can surmise, because why else would you have such a stupid, idiotic spin? I mean, why else would you come up with something so demonstrably false that isn't actually even supported by the remark that I included in the video that you didn't link to? Because heaven forbid somebody watch it and come to that conclusion themselves. So that's the big thing. So when I say that some people are rat bastards and they act horribly towards innocent people who are simply calling out historical fact, then maybe don't make up stories about innocent people who are calling out or simply citing historical fact. I mean, if Newsweek wants to take exception and they want to argue that Wounded Knee actually was not a federally backed gun confiscation, if they want to try to argue with me that in spite of what is written in every single account, every single record of this tragedy, that no, American Indians were actually allowed to keep their firearms, and the Democrat ideology that motivated the actions of the soldiers were actually totally fine and everyone was treated wonderfully. If you want to argue that, then maybe perhaps you should publish an article and support it with evidence and try to make that point and run with that narrative instead of writing really snide, elementary, illiterate level copy about individuals for simply making an accurate historical point. Anyway, amen. I'm so tired of this stuff. So now you see why. And media has done this for a long time. They will try to go out and actively ruin individuals' lives. And this is one example. Not everyone in media, but a lot. A lot. Look at the Covington kids. Look at Nick Sandman. Look at the Covington kids and what the media did to them. Look at what's going on with Brett Kavanaugh. And you want to, and then when you criticize them, they freak out and act as though, how dare you criticize us? You're inciting against us. This, you're against free press. Actually, you're not behaving like a free press. You're behaving like a fascist propaganda arm of a political party, and you target and try to ruin the lives of individuals that you believe to be a threat with your ideology, a threat to your ideology. That isn't the behavior of a free press. That's the behavior of Pravda. Maybe you should see which side of the aisle you're on. My point stands. And if Newsweek would ever like an educational lesson on this, well, I'm happy to do my part and for the good welfare of their ever-growing IQ, be generous with my time and teach them. Now, that being said, the Kavanaugh thing is a great example of it, because now you have the New York Times that has egg all over its face from this. They're getting a lot of heat because it was just a disastrous op-ed where they were going over and trying to relitigate this account of a woman who says she doesn't even remember this alleged incident. The article omits some of the political motivations of the people involved, i.e. Max Steyer, who they claim said, well, I saw all of this stuff. I saw it happen. Well, I wonder why he would have this political axe to grind, considering that he represented the Clintons during the Whitewater debacle. And at the same time, Brett Kavanaugh was working with Ken Starr, and he's widely credited as being the principal author of the Starr report, from which that led directly to Bill Clinton's impeachment. Or we can also discuss how Max Steyer's wife, his second wife, was nominated for the D.C. Circuit Court. But yet that nomination, and it's widely assumed that Steyer blames it on Mitch McConnell because it was under the time of Barack Obama and McConnell was leading the Senate. Her nomination ended up expiring was the word that was used. So he has a lot of political grievances, and those would be excellent motivators for someone who wanted to try to help Democrats reshape the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about this more in depth with Carrie Servino, who has a book that she co-authored about all of this. And if you're going to read a book on the Kavanaugh incident, you should read that one. As we get moving on, CarShield's a great program. You definitely need it because it's extended vehicle protection for your car. They make the process of fixing your car for a covered repair incredibly easy. You can have your favorite mechanic or the dealership do the work. It's your choice. You get 24/7 roadside assistance, a rental car while yours is being fixed. You don't have to pay high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. And they reimburse the people who are working on your car, so you're not uncomfortably and awkwardly on the hook for it. So get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection by calling 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana or visit carshield.com and use code Dana and you'll save 10%. That's carshield.com code Dana or 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana. A deductible may apply.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, longtime journalist, legendary political commentator Cokie Roberts dies at age 75. She won countless awards, including 3 Emmys throughout her decades-long career. She had been dealing with breast cancer. She survived by her husband and her kids and 6 grandkids. I had the pleasure of meeting Cokie Roberts in 2010. It was the very first time I did primetime network election coverage for ABC, and I met her, and she was incredible. She was very kind, and it was my first time, so I was nervous, and I was one of the only Republicans there. And she was very, very nice, didn't treat me any differently than she did anyone else. And that always stayed with me, even though I probably was very much on the opposite side of her politically. She did not show that in the way that she treated individuals. And so she made you feel very comfortable. So our prayers are up for her family. As we move on here, let's see this. Trump's approval is back at 50%. We have that. That's a new poll out. The Bahamas facing tropical storm Humberto. And you also now have the story of, healing crystals. This isn't great news for Marianne Williamson. The dark crystal. So there is a piece in The Guardian that discusses the brutal reality behind the booming wellness craze of quote unquote healing crystals. They say demand is soaring, but many are mined in deadly conditions and in some of the world's poorest countries. And there's little evidence, they say, that this billion-dollar industry is cleaning up its act. Very interesting. So I think that's important for people to maybe perhaps be aware of when they're getting, you know, they're looking at all of that stuff. The work of beloved TV artist Bob Ross is finally being recognized in a new exhibition. His work is actually being presented, and he, of course, obviously he did The Joy of Painting, the television show on public television. The exhibit is called Happy Accidents, an exhibit of original Bob Ross paintings, because remember, he never said the word mistake. He didn't like mistake. He said there are no mistakes. They're just happy accidents. The exhibit is small and free of charge, probably is like he would have wanted it, and it's completely the title, the total homage to Bob Ross as well. So that's very cool. I would like to go see that. You know, and last but not least, well, Caitlyn Jenner says she's not going to have a gender reassignment surgery, but he says that it's just retired his piece. Stick with us. Kavanaugh stuff next.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at danaradio.com.
And I just put out a statement on social media that said, I don't think they'll do it, but they should, for the good of the nation. I call for the resignation of everybody at the New York Times involved in the Kavanaugh smear story.
Well, and that was from the president's rally yesterday evening. And as you could hear, the crowd went wild for it because these are people who have, I talked about this earlier, the Kavanaugh fight was so important in more ways than one. It was the first refusal to bend a knee to the rage mob. It was a fight against the reshaping of the Supreme Court. There was it was a fight against completely ruining the integrity of the process and honor, and oh, there's so much. And this latest smear, every development I see with this is unbelievable. I was watching these two women who wrote this book. I guess they wrote it. Apparently, they didn't even read it. Where they were on The View and the answers, I just couldn't even believe the answers. I don't know. I'm like, I question, was it ghostwritten for them? I don't know. It was very different from the book on Kavanaugh that you actually should read. And we've talked about this book, Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. I'm not quite sure that I have ever come across anything that has been so exhaustively researched and fact-checked and such great care to get every aspect of the story possible. And I have to say, I'm a little upset at the treatment of these authors by the media, because those two women were on The View that apparently did not want to have Carrie Severino and Molly Hemingway on. And Carrie Severino, who co-authored this book with Molly Hemingway, joins me now on the phone to discuss this latest smear and this ongoing fight, which is really about reshaping the court. Carrie, thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate your book and appreciate what you do.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I think maybe what we needed to do is include some egregious errors in our own book, and then they would have had us on to talk about them. I don't know what you need to do these days.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Then they would have had you on, which is, and I just cannot get around, I cannot wrap my head around what has been taking place this past week. I mean, they pretty much, this anti-Kavanaugh book, and I was discussing earlier all of the political motivations that could be involved in this, but they undermine their own book. I mean, really, the premise of their own book, and the main person that all of this is built around doesn't have any recollection of it. When they mention Christine Blasey Ford, her lifelong friend, Leland Kaiser, refused to be bullied into supporting this false account and said, I have no confidence in this story at all. Tell me about your experience. Because I know that there was something that was written about these women, and I was trying to remember the author and how easy it was for them to get this book out here. And then hear your book, actually fact-based, really well done, well written. Really, I think it's required reading historically. They did not want to pay any attention to this, yet it still ended up being a bestseller.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to more than 100 people to try to make sure we had the full picture of the story. We talked to the president, to the vice president, to senators, to Supreme Court justices, to people who knew the Blasey's, people who knew the Kavanaugh's. We wanted to get the full picture. And it does take a lot of work and a lot of effort, but we were so glad that we were able to set the record straight. Part of the reason we wanted to do so quickly and to be the first ones out is because we knew that smears like this were going to continue. I clerked for Justice Thomas. I saw what happened with him. They didn't just let it go after they had already smeared him once in the confirmation hearings. They kept going. They're still telling lies about Justice Thomas. And I knew that would happen with Kavanaugh as well. So we wanted to make sure someone was out there with the facts, because that's going to make it harder for them to tell lies. And thank goodness this time we also got an early copy of the book, because otherwise it would be only today that it came out that we would have learned, you know what? What they're telling isn't the whole truth.
Right. And I've seen a lot of media entities also try to, and this, okay, this is me being petty on your behalf, because I've just, I hate when I see media entities do this. They take, they've been taking things that you exclusively first discussed in your book and trying to refashion it as a scoop that they had. This is why people dislike media.
Yeah, that's really, it's frustrating. And so a lot of the things, it's funny, Molly had a fun little tweet back and forth where Brian Fallon, a leader of one of the liberal groups on the left advocating against Justice Kavanaugh, was saying, hey, but Leland Kaiser, who we're all talking to, the friend of Blasey Ford, who says she doesn't believe her, don't say she doesn't believe her. She told us, she gave us a statement a year ago that said she was. And Molly's like, oh, Brian, I'm sorry, you must not have read our book, because we broke all sorts of new news about her. And it's true. We break a lot of news. And it's so funny. I don't even think it's malicious on the part of the mainstream media that they're not mentioning it, because they clearly have not read the book, and they didn't pay attention to the book. So maybe now they'll realize, hey, there was some good stuff to learn. I feel bad. Robin Pogrebin and Kate Kelly didn't get a chance to read the book before they printed their own, because, you know, there's a few glaring errors in there that we might have been able to help them correct.
Yeah, they would have been able to make some corrections to this book instead of have it play out in the very public and embarrassing manner that it did. So they had this excerpt in the New York Times. New York Times has to issue a retraction. Then it's as if they retract the retraction. It's very odd. And they're the now everyone on the basis of what they have been pushing there. You have a bunch of Democrats now calling for the impeachment of Kavanaugh based on this very, I think one of the, they keep saying very credible accusations. I think one of the least credible things that we've heard in throughout this entire mess, this woman who does not even recollect anything that happened. All of the individuals interviewed, they have no memory of this happening. And then you had the Max Steyer, that individual who comes out and says, well, I saw this happen, and that's included in the book. But apparently his very complicated political motivations are not. Speak to this a little bit, because this just seems like a new way to try to rehash something that's already been debunked by fabricating some way that it might be germane now.
Yeah, I mean, first, the cardinal sin here is they tell this story and then they leave out the key piece of information, which is that the victim, or the alleged victim herself, says she doesn't remember anything like this. So that is a huge problem. But they also describe Max Steyer in a way that tries to pump him up as a neutral source. They call him a respected thought leader. They play him as nonpartisan because he works in an allegedly nonpartisan organization right now. You know what? If you rewind a few years, he was working for the Bill Clinton legal defense team. And it's not just that he was working for Clinton. He was working for Clinton at the very time that Brett Kavanaugh was working for Starr on the investigation of Clinton. So these guys have a head-to-head rivalry that goes way back. And the idea that that's not relevant to a story where this guy is your only remaining source in a kind of ridiculous claim anyway. I mean, anyone who's looked at these allegations, you're trying to figure out how physically it even happens that guys are able to push the genitals of their drunk friend into someone else's hands. I mean, it's a crazy scenario, right? So it just doesn't pass the smell test, and they omitted facts that make it smell even worse.
Right. And all of this, ultimately, I don't think any of this is about concern for female victims. I don't think that it is any kind of concern for women in general. This really is all about reshaping the court. They didn't win an election to have the opportunity to do it. So I guess they feel that this is the way to go about it.
Yeah, I think they would have liked to be able to, of course, put their own judges in the court, because the left has been very good at doing this historically, getting the courts to do what they can't do in the electoral process. So they get the courts to enact policies that the American people don't want, or their elected representatives aren't willing to vote on, but the courts will do it. And now they want the court to protect all of those gains they've made. And so they're really, this is kind of a threat on judicial independence, because they want to threaten the justices that, hey, you don't play ball with us, and we're going to destroy you. We are going to ruin your reputation. We're not just going to stop at the confirmation vote. We're going to keep going, because they want justices who are going to be cowed. I don't think Justice Kavanaugh is that kind of person. We saw him in the way he responded last time they tried him on him, but I'm worried that they're going to nonetheless continue these kinds of ploys against the courts, and I think it's shameful for our American system. We should have independent judges.
It is incredibly shameful, but they did overplay their hand the last time, because they had to come up with the phrase the Kavanaugh effect to measure all of these different elections, where he became kind of the litmus test for Republicans and Democrats to determine if that candidate was gonna get the seat again. It was instrumental in West Virginia with Joe Manchin, mm-hmm. and it also are they worried? Do you think that I just can't imagine why they would want to repeat that again here in an election year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. They're like, wait a minute, wasn't this the thing that it really ignited the Republican base in 2018? Wasn't this the thing that Claire McCaskill said is part of the reason she lost her Senate seat, mm-hmm. and the reason Republicans have more seats in the Senate now than they did before that? If you guys want to relitigate this fight, have at it. I mean, it just doesn't seem like good strategy. But they don't seem to be getting the point, and the Democratic presidential wannabes, they certainly aren't getting the point either, because they're all jumping on this bandwagon. They're all saying they need to impeach him now. I mean, that is absolutely ludicrous. And I don't know if they've, you know, thinking better of it, and it's just too embarrassing to retract it now that they see all of the trouble the New York Times itself has gotten it into. But it's an embarrassing moment for Democratic politics.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book is Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court. This is the book that everyone needs to read, as this smear tactic is ongoing now for the second time. Carrie Severino co-authored with Molly Hemingway. Carrie, congrats on the bestseller and all your success with this book. And kudos for holding strong and fighting to get it out there, because I dare say there's so much that we wouldn't know if it hadn't been for your hard work and your push to make sure that it broke through and was able to get out there in the media a little bit. So congratulations, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Take care. Yeah, this is the book that everyone needs to read. And again, I know I'm kind of petty on their behalf, because I know what it's like when you work on a book and you work so incredibly hard, and they worked really, really hard on this book. And they went out and they didn't just look at Twitter. They called people, they interviewed people, they reached out to all of these different classmates at Yale who went with Kavanaugh and who may have been at some of these things, and they did the research that the media refused to do. Because, as you know, with so many people, not all, but many people in legacy media, they want the byline and they want the chyron, but they don't want the work necessary to justify why their name should be in the chyron, why they got the byline. And so these authors, these co-authors with this book did. So you should get it. It is equal parts infuriating and just mystifying that it actually happened the way that it happened. So we have Today in Stupidity still on the way. You don't want to miss it. Look, I've told you before, you need to make sure that you are being healthy. And a lot of people think that energy drinks and stuff like that, that's what makes them healthy. And I told you about Superbeats. Some people think, well, I don't want to drink that, even though it's only 4 ounces. I don't want to drink that. For all of you people, you need to check out Superbeats Soft Chews, right? It's like candy. Starburst, actually. It tastes like Starburst. I'm not kidding. It actually does. I've already had mine today. My third bag is gone, by the way. I told you that yesterday. My third bag is totally gone. So Superbeats Soft Chews, it's the new product that they have, brand new. It gives you all the potent heart health benefits of Superbeats packed into two Very convenient, very tasty, soft chews. I can take them with me wherever I go. I take them before I go to the gym, too. I still do my Super Beats. Actually, this morning I didn't do my Super Beats. I did my soft chews because I was just running late. The soft chews come with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract. So it supports normal blood pressure and circulation and natural energy in your body. And they use highly concentrated premium grape seeds that they only source from one area, the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. So grapeseed extract that's used in Super Beats soft chews, it's been clinically studied, and it's been shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Boost your heart health easily and on the go with Super Beats soft chews. Get the Super Beats soft chews today by visiting danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they're going to throw in the third for free. danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617. They're keto friendly, paleo friendly, all that good jazz too. danasbeats.com.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Like, people take everything personally. I think the world revolves around them, right? Particularly on Twitter, right? I don't know. I'm not tweeting anyone. I'm just tweeting, okay? I don't know who's following me. I've got 12 million followers. I don't know who's following me. They can be following me without me knowing, right? Choose to read my tweet and then take that personally. That's like going into a town square, seeing a big notice board, and there's a notice, guitar lessons, and you go, but I don't want guitar lessons.
That's so great. That's Ricky Gervais, I know. He's, I think, kind of done with the whole cancel culture. And that's what it is. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but, you know, for comedian Shane Gillis, and I don't know, he's not really my bag of laughs, but he might be somebody else's, you know. And I don't know. I think part of comedy and part of being a comedian is you have to separate the ego from someone's self-obsession, especially in this era, from their ability to look at everything objectively. I think comedians have it harder now, obviously. I mean, for the really in your face obvious reasons, but also because I think people are rewiring, and they're rewiring how they view comedy as well, you know, where it is, you can't make fun of anything and you can't make fun of anyone. And there's maliciousness in malicious mocking people. There's a difference there, but comedy is supposed to be edgy, and it's supposed to be in some respects offensive in a good way, if that makes sense. Like the way that Dave Chappelle does it or South Park does it. There are a number of comedians that do it incredibly well. Norm Macdonald, I think, is one of the best at it. And a lot of people, I think he's one of the most underrated comics, because people just, I think what he does goes over people's heads. I really do. And he's got a great poker face. And he's very dry, which I love. But I look at some of these, you know, like some of the jokes that this individual said. He just gets hired onto SNL and then he's out like that. Hired and fired before he even did anything. He had the job for like a couple of days. We're going to talk about the continuation of the cancel culture tomorrow. But then there's some victories that I'll share with you too. In the meantime, today in stupidity.
Well, I was torn between, well, The View, you know, the ladies on The View with those.
I like Megan. She's an exception for me.
Yeah, but the, well, the authors of that Kavanaugh hit piece book.
Mm.
Anyway, these ladies, they may or may not have actually proofread before it was sent out. And I think the answer is they didn't proofread.
Also took out the fact that she didn't remember it.
Did you read it right before it went to print?
You know, we thought we had.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought we had done it, but why journalism? Why would we care so much for journalism? We don't need to proofread anything before we publish it.
Yeah, heaven forbid we do that. I mean, that's not part of the book writing process at all, except it is. I mean, I've been literally involved elbows deep in the editing process of all of my books. All right, folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful, fantastically fantabulous, amazing evening. @DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I'll be back with you tomorrow.